morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, usually about this time of year, there's not much really to do in the garden, right? You look out in the yard, everything's kind of bare and brown, but it's a really great time to think about starting a compost pile, right?
Yes, exactly. So finally in fall, when the leaves start falling down and then you wonder, oh, there's another activity I can do. Because I think that gardeners, for the most part, we get tired after the long growing season and we need a break. But then it comes a time where get kind of stir crazy and cabin fever inside and you
like
want to
make master gardeners, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like master gardeners and all gardeners, all backyard gardeners. So they'll definitely want to do some projects and activities outside. Well, the one great thing about that is that if you have large shade trees or any kind of deciduous plant on there, you're going to have some leaf drop. Definitely those leaves can be used for many things. I mean, you step on them, you go out there and walk around there. You're going to get some crunching of those leaves, and those are going to be really great mulch for your area. If they kind of pile up in the corner of a raised bed or your little garden area, that's also going to act like a little buffer, a little blanket to kind of protect that crown of your plant. So they definitely have a lot of purpose. But of course, then if you're a very tidy gardener and you want to make sure that everything looks nice and neat, and you're wondering, what do I do with all of these leaves? Do I toss them? Well, you can put them in your recycling bin. You can treat them just like you would grass clippings in the summer. But another way to do that is to kind of keep them on your property and keep them there and turn them into compost. And really the difference between a mulch and a compost are very different. Mulches are going to stay on top of the soil surface. So they're not going to go anywhere. They're going to be there. They can be, you know, rocks or even pecan shells or whatever you have that's out there. Now, a compost is going to be incorporated into the soil. And the reason why you're going to incorporate the compost into the soil is because it's going to have organic matter and nutrients. So two things that both contribute to soil health as well as plant nutrition.
So if you do have those loose leaves sort of piled up around your plants right about now, that's going to be like a mulch. It's not only keeping it from perhaps being damaged on a severe freeze, but it's also sort of preserving some of the moisture underneath. But if you work that into a compost pile, you can later actually work that into your soil to help enrich those plants when it comes time for them to come back up again.
Yes, exactly. And if you've ever raked up leaves in the backyard, you'll see that those leaves kind of add up a lot. They take up a lot of volume when you try to put them into a plastic bag. You know, they'll take up, you know, four or five bags in a relatively, you know, small tree or at least one mature tree. But the purpose of the compost is to break down or decompose that waste material into a usable form. So what happens is you're going to have all of this large volume of leaves. And ultimately, when your compost is done, you're compost is going to be shrunk from a really small area, about 15-20%, to what your original volume was, even smaller than that. But the thing is that the end result is going to be a rich, deep, dark, nutrient-based amendment that goes back into your soil. Right now, in addition to your leaves, you're not going to have much else if you don't have a lawn going or any kind of grass clippings. But we do continuously have kitchen scraps and kitchen waste that we can be able to use that. It's always interesting to look at to see what can and what can you not compost. And, oh, just to kind of divert from our conversation, I was on vacation in San Francisco earlier this year. And as a matter of fact, they have their system of bins, but instead of just the trash bin and the recycle bin, they have a third bin, the compost bin. So they're actually composting their food scraps within the city and county of San Francisco.
Oh, wow. So they take San Francisco.
Exactly.
Right?
So they're definitely the leaders in all of this. And I started thinking, well, what exactly can we compost? And really for beginners and composting, we don't want to say that you're going to throw all of your entire waste, all of your kitchen waste into your compost pile. That's a big no-no, because a lot of times what's going to end up happening is that you're going to get foul odors. You're going to attract bugs, and it's just going to look unsightly. So there's a few basic rules that you need to be able to look at when you're saying, what do I compost and what things should I leave behind? So definitely things that are going to be our natural things, our grass clippings, our leaves that we talked about, but also things like eggshells and coffee and tea grinds. So those are really common things that you're able to have in your in your kitchen.
You want to rinse out those eggshells because, you know, sometimes they got that egg white still in there, or does it really matter?
The best part, it doesn't really matter on that because it's just a small amount of that sloppy yolk. But as far as anything steering away from any kind of fats, dairy, or meat, those are big no-nos. You do not ever want to put those into your compost bin as well. But there's definitely other things that you can look at. When you're in your kitchen, I find that when you're cooking, we just generate a lot of waste. I don't know if you ever noticed, you know, packages open, you know, we have all sorts of peels. The best thing for that is, of course, you want to have your trash can handy for stuff that needs to be thrown away for safety purposes. But really, if you have a small little container, a little bowl that you can designate for your compost pile, so you can put in your eggshells and your coffee grounds, and there are your, you know, orange peels or whatever it is that you're preparing for your meal, kind of keep it there in very close proximity to your, in your kitchen. And then that way, once that gets filled up, maybe after you prepare a large meal or after the entire course of the day, then you can take it out to your compost bin. Because the last thing you want to have people do is like have more work, and people are going to get discouraged.
You don't want to start an indoor compost.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to start that, but you also want to make it easier on yourself, because if it's there, it's, you know, in the front of your mind, and you're thinking about it and you're conscious about what it is that you're doing. And then you realize how much of that food, of those food scraps, you can actually compost and further reduce your trash consumption. And then if you live in the city, then you also have your blue bin where you're throwing your plastics and your cardboard. So you can really see that kind of decrease on your trash, if you will. So we may not ever get to that point where we're the leading
landfill
type. Yeah, exactly. And I was reading up, even on San Francisco, they have like a zero waste goal that they plan to reach in 2020. So they have to, I think the state of California mandates you have to cut 50% or divert 50% of your waste from the landfill. So you got to recycle at least 50%, but San Francisco wants to go to 0%. So, I mean, I'll be interested to kind of check to see how they're going with that. But yeah, I think that's really interesting. And there's a lot of things that, that we can do on a much smaller scale.
We have some printouts here that our listeners can't look at, but I'm going to have a link on the Good to Grow page where they can view some of these of what can I compost and what can I not compost. And, you know, I've got long hair, and you go anywhere in my house and you go to the floor at a random spot and you just sort of get your fingers, like if you're picking something up, chances are you're going to pick up some of my hair.
Yeah.
Or my dog's hair.
Yeah, exactly.
So I see here that hair and fur can be composted.
Isn't that interesting? Especially for our pet lovers. So you see, I think about that because even like vacuum cleaners now are going towards the bagless.
Yeah.
And so you have this canister that after you're done, you got to dump it somewhere. So there's a perfect place for you to be able to dump that in there. So many like small things that you don't even realize that can be composted. But while we really stop and look at it, yeah, the list is, it's really comprehensive.
Yeah. Poo is another one.
Yes.
Poo of herbivorous animals, not dogs or cats that eat meat, but like maybe a horse or a rabbit.
Yes, exactly. Those are really prime examples that you don't want to include on that. And so any domesticated animals, dogs and cats, no way for your compost pile. Those we can send those to the landfill. That's okay.
But, you know, horse manure, we know there's a lot of areas where they have their own horses and they eat mostly hay. And
yes,
you can just toss that back in there.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly. Wow. And that's going to be on a larger scale, too. So you have to kind of look at what can you accommodate in your backyard. You know, are you going to have a larger property and have access to these types of manures that you're going to be able to compost? Or is it going to be a smaller compost pile? So definitely you want to look at that to see what the materials you have access to, because the last thing you want to do is have to go out and acquire other things and then drive them halfway across town to get them to your compost bin. It's kind of defeating the purpose of, you know, reducing your waste. So you want to make sure that you've identified those key sources of what you're eating, what you can compost, and then given an area for your compost bin itself. You can certainly make compost bins as simple or as elaborate as you'd like. They have some large tumblers that you can purchase through online gardening systems that are almost a large cylinder that you can kind of crank and it turns itself. It does reduce the amount of time that it takes for your compost to be quote unquote finished. to be able to be used into your garden. It's going to be more cost involved on that. There's some other ones that you can have on the do-it-yourselfer side where you can get almost like a chicken wire, like a rabbit fence, that you kind of construct that using kind of like in a round circle and then attach with a 2x4, like a little hook to be able to close that up. Mm. And you're able to release that hook and thus open up the compost bin to be able to turn it, because that's going to be the key on this. So we're going to have to
like
make
a pitchfork or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's after you do that and you can kind of like reconstruct the bin again and then throw your pile back into that compost bin. Or there's also other ways that you can follow where you kind of retrofit like a 30-gallon trash tumbler that you can buy at the garden center with a really a secure lid. Attach bungee cords to make sure that your lid is covered. And then you want to drill holes on the side of that trash can that's going to be your compost bin, because you also need that air, because you need those microbes to be busy working, breaking down all that organic matter. Those round trash cans can be easily turned to the side and rolled back and forth in your backyard too. So that also helps for your back.
Yeah, maybe if you have some sort of a limited movement or some sort of a disability, it definitely be helpful to be able to just do something as simple as just rolling around in a garbage can.
Yeah, exactly. Just plop it back up, and you want to make sure that. And then it's, you know, as everything kind of decomposes and breaks down, that volume is going to decrease. So what you're doing is you're essentially, you have to constantly be feeding your compost bin. So you want to make sure that you're providing your two major sources of nutrients, the carbon and the nitrogen, and in those ratios that are appropriate. If any of that balance goes off, that's when you're going to start seeing nothing happening, first of all, or you're going to start seeing a big, sloppy, stinky, wet mess.
And sloppy and stinky is not what a compost pile should be.
No, it's not. So the most important thing for your folks to remember is to do some research on the basics of composting, and then always know that the master gardeners are able to answer your questions and to be able to break that information down for you in case you have any questions. Spring will be here before you know it, and we'll be talking more and more about composting, but this is a really great winter activity to still stay active and still be proactive for your entire garden and your entire soil health.
And really quickly, I know people are probably doing some pruning right about now, but you don't want to put a big old tree branch in your compost pile, right? Because the point is you want to break these items down organically. And so if you are going to be putting, you know, some cuttings or prunings in there, make sure that you work them down.
You can either cut them down or you can shred them down as well. If you have access to a chipper, mm-hmm. or a big group of you all, if you have large trees and you're going to have somebody come in and do that pruning for you, they can certainly chip that, keep that, and then keep that on your property. It'll decompose a lot faster. We're just coming off the fall season too, and a lot of people have ornamental squash and pumpkins that they used for fall, for Halloween and Thanksgiving. Also, those guys are going to get kind of dull and ready to go into the compost bin. Give them a helping hand, kind of cut them up, dice them up to really speed up that process of breaking down.
Well, there's a lot to cover about composting, and we have some really useful information from the Bernalillo, New Mexico State Extension Service. We're going to have links to that on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. It'll tell you what you can compost, what you can't compost. There's another link that I'm going to send you that's got some really good pictures and a really terrific, easy gardening composting flyer that you can print out for yourself. Well, we want to thank our engineer for today, Katie McCormick. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
We want to thank you so much for listening today. And remember that a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.